Rob Nutter here, Adam Stone here, It Feels Right podcast. I'm coming to you from a basement in Brooklyn, New York, after the APP NYC. We'll talk a little bit about that. And then, Adam, what else we got?
I'm coming to you from the basement of my own house and a new setup here. We're going to talk about
basement
a little more theory-based tip of the week on speed-up frequencies. And also just talk a little bit about the summer schedule in the pickleball world. Enjoy.
Enjoy.
Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right. It feels right.
Legendary.
Before we get into the episode, we have to tell you about a must-have for anyone in the pickleball world. If you're an avid pickleball player and don't have this app downloaded on your phone, you're missing out on so much. Meet the Selkirk TV app, the first and only free streaming and on-demand app dedicated to everything pickleball. Whether you're a player, a fan, or just curious about the sport, Selkirk TV is your one-stop shop for all things pickleball. Get exclusive early access to content you won't find anywhere else, like lessons, courses, podcasts, and much, much more. Imagine improving your game with the pros or catching the latest pickleball buzz before anyone else. Need more? How about a 24/7 live stream featuring new content daily? From gripping PPA tournament matches and live coverage of grandstand court to insightful player interviews, Selkirk TV has it all. You can dive into the action anytime, anywhere. If you're already watching this episode on the app, thank you. But if you aren't, what are you doing? Download the Selkirk TV app now. It's a must-have for anyone who loves pickleball. Visit selkirk.com/TV to get it.
Hey, Brooklyn gang.
That's Brooklyn gang.
I don't know. I'm not hip. As the kids would say, we did this last week with all the mid and the bet, but that's, I'm not hip with it. Or maybe I am hip with it. No,
you got to be careful just throwing out random signs, Rob. You know, I think someone might be offended by that.
I mean, people are offended by everything. So yes, correct. Got to be careful with anything you say.
That's fair.
Which, you know, cancel culture.
Yeah, Rob, you seem to be in the basement of a hotel, and I have been officially banished to the basement of my house. So I woke the kid up one time for a nap, cackling probably about something funny that you said, and I find myself in the basement. I wish I could flip the camera around and show you. It's a little bit of a ratty type setup right now. We're going to work on it. We got the SoCal Hard Eights over here, so I like that part of it. But it's a work in progress, we'll say.
Hey, respect. Maybe there's a way we could do this where we have, I don't know, green screen. I think looks kind of silly because it looks like you're floating. It doesn't look like, you know, green screen with like the weather reports, which actually looks like nice and clean and well done. Green screen on like these platforms right now, it looks like you're kind of dissolving into the screen. Because I was going to say, what if we had a green screen with like all of the logos we want to have in the back, like Selkirk, Hard Eights, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't think it just doesn't work yet. It doesn't work
floating,
well.
Huh? Floating, kind of like your microphone is right now. Just floating in your hand with no stand.
It's floating in my big old mitt right here. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The stand's too bulky to travel with. I always travel, kids out there wanting to travel well. I never travel with a checked bag. I don't care where I'm going. I went to India for 2 weeks with only carry-on. Kids out there, only carry-on bags. I saw Dylan Frazier. We did that commercial for the Ant Pro in Coeur d'Alene. The kid had a suitcase bigger than his body. I mean, he's rolling that thing around. He's checking the bag, going to turn, like, just two carry-ons.
Amateur.
I sweat a lot too, and I still have two carry-ons.
Yep.
So I have to rotate through shirts and undies and socks and two carry-ons.
Yeah, you can.
Life goals, right?
It's the very rare instance that you aggressively need to do laundry and you can't find a place. It's still worth it to only carry on. And risk that as
Correct.
Opposed to bringing a checked bag, which is clearly amateur hour. And if anyone else is doing that, I don't know where your head's at.
Adam, I think a lot of people are doing that, and it upsets me. It makes me sad for them. So maybe what we can do in the future here, you know, maybe Selkirk can help us with this, is actually do, you know, one for a commentator who you sweat, you might sweat in the commentary, but it wouldn't surprise me if you went through shirts in the commentary booth.
I have brow sweat right now.
Commentator carry on. We could do a bag check with Adam, and we could do a bag check with me on our carry-ons and show how it's done.
Yeah. Oh, and I have is the larger Selkirk backpack and the smaller Selkirk backpack.
Yes.
And that's it. I mean, I don't see what more you need. Get it situated if you're checking back, people.
And the Selkirk backpacks honestly are the best. I've used a lot of different bags for pickle, and it's the best bag. It has the paddle compartment, but also in the side compartments, I can fit. I'm not kidding you. I can fit like 12 dry fit shirts in there. So all the shirts I rotate through in a tournament, I just shove them down there. That goes really small, and just in like one of the side pockets has all my shirts. So
it doesn't fall out either. I have a variety of like liquid IV and grips and whatever in that side pocket, and it's not sealed but does not fall out. And
there strong is a, elastic, strong elastic. Yes.
And there's a bottom container for shoes, and it.
Yeah.
Like my shoes get so bad, even if I have them in a grocery bag and they're in the same compartment as my clothing, it will leak over into my clothing. So to have the special compartment at the bottom is very important for an aggressive sweater and someone who has stinky shoes.
It's very stinky shoes. One trick for stinky shoes is, and I learned this in Texas just starting to play because I didn't realize this was an issue. But Adam, as you know, I would drive from downtown Austin down to San Marcos to play with the Dormans and that crew. And the issue is we play for 3 hours, dripping sweat, right? It's like it's insane, middle of the summer, Texas heat, you get it. The issue is I have a 45-minute drive home, and I would usually just drive with my shoes on without taking them off immediately. Lesson learned, right when you're done playing, you have to take those bad boys off. You have to put them in the sun. You have to dry them out ASAP or they're done. They're done, done. If you drive home 45 minutes, leave them on sweaty, dripping, one, your feet turn really nasty too. I had that issue. But you have to take off wet shoes.
Yeah, I agree completely. I found this out very, very early on because I went to Naples to play. This is like 8 years ago with Kyle Yates, and we were bubbling out of the sides of our shoes because it was so
squish, humid.
And so I found that out early. And actually, the last tournament I did commentary for at the PPA, Jack Sock had a similar situation in Atlanta, and we had the mics on the bench, and he was talking about how he was hesitant to go for a certain ball or make a certain play because he thought his shoes were going to squish and he was going to slide and like pull a muscle or something. So it's real. You got to take care of your feet. Like Lieutenant Dan said, you must take care of your feet. Very important. Everything starts from the ground up, Robert.
Everything starts from Lieutenant Dan forward.
Yeah, it really does.
Wow. Okay. Personal hygiene, bag checks, equipment check. You're in Raleigh, I'm assuming, Holly Springs. I'm in Brooklyn, New York right now.
Okay.
Flying to Indianapolis today because I have to go see Caitlin Clark tomorrow.
I forgot your girl.
We have to go see Caitlin Clark tomorrow.
Sorry, Mama.
Look, she's off to whatever. Some people are saying a rough start. She's still averaging 15 points a game. She's averaging, I think, 5 or 6 boards a game, 6 assists a game. She's doing her thing. What is not working is the coach. Doesn't know how to, and this is a common thing, right? When you have a generational talent such as Caitlin Clark and you bring her into a team of veterans that have egos that feel like, look, we were here before her, and like, doesn't matter, dude. The team has to be built around her. She has to be the general on the court. She has to dictate everything. The ball has to be in her hands. She only shot 8 times the other night. You can't have Caitlin Clark shooting only 8 times. She's got to be putting up 20 shots a game. That's it. That's enough, Caitlin.
I talked a previous podcast about how difficult coaching is, and you have to kind of move it around and figure it out. But I think this one is as clear cut and dry as you can possibly have. As you like to say, Robert, a generational talent. You just throw her out there, you put her in the best spots, and you just go from there. So this coach needs to get it together.
And look, it would be different, right, if they were, call it, 3-for-3 or 5-2 or 6-1, and like we're winning. But when you're 1-6 and you're not getting results, who cares? There's nothing to lose, right? Like you're not trending in the right direction to what you're doing. Just throw caution to the wind and put the ball in Caitlin's hands. Fair. Let her be the head coach too. Who cares? Just
fair, yeah. Player coach. Yeah. You don't have those too much anymore. Let's make it happen. Clearly you're traveling, but do you have any plans? Are you going to have a frothy adult beverage for this lovely Memorial Day, or what's going on there?
Memorial Day. Yeah. Hell, happy Memorial Day, Adam.
You as well.
Malin and I took a nice stroll. I haven't spent much time in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. But I really like it here. Nice. It's like compared to the city, Manhattan, it's just very green, nice neighborhoody type vibe, residential, a lot of cool little coffee shops. It's nice. Nice to be able to walk out and be in the mix and like just walking places. Walkability is so huge.
Yeah, it's huge. And I agree completely. And I've been trying to do that on some of these trips where the venue is close to hotels. Mm-hmm. I will just get the hotel, get no car, take one Uber to the hotel, and then I'll just walk to the venue, maybe go to a lovely little coffee shop. I know you like coffee, and the restaurant's in walking distance. And it's a great way to live. It really is.
It is. Something about just walking more. You know, living in Ponte Vedra, there's not a lot of walking. You walk out your door and you have to get in a car to go somewhere. You get it. Yeah. Holly Springs too. Like when you, there's positives of being in more rural locations. Not that Ponte Vedra is rural by any means, but walkability score is pretty low. So that's a nice mug.
Pier One. I saw there was a fine China Pier One. It is. It's got lovely flowers on there. So I appreciate you saying that, Rob.
Yeah, that's pretty. It matches your Heart Eights logo. Yeah. Picky. Let's get into Picky. Played a little Picky in New York City. That's why I'm here. Beautiful Billie Jean King Tennis Center, which is always dope. Yvonne Lendl was here, which is also insane. I saw him. Well, odd story. Not odd story, but like just like a doofus story is I'm just walking. I've got the ugly. Sorry, it's not ugly. Yeah, it's everybody hates it. Selkirk, I'm sorry. You have beautiful clothes now. Great collaboration with Roan. Beautiful collaboration with Legends. That stuff's really nice. I still like the camo, the white camo, the darker camo. And I have to say, Yvonne Lendl also likes the dark camo because I was wearing the dark camo. I'm just walking down the hallway at this venue and just going to a court, I think. And I pass an older gentleman that's pretty big. And he's wearing the same shirt. And he goes, "Hey, nice shirt." I go, "Hey, looking classy, buddy." And and then I saw a picture of somebody on social wearing the dark camo, standing beside the plaque at Billie Jean King Tennis Center that said Yvonne Lendl in bronze, with like all like you know 8 Grand Slam titles, made the finals of the U.S. Open 8 years in a row or something silly, won 85-87. And there's the guy that was wearing the dark camo shirt in that picture standing by that plaque. And sure enough, it was Yvonne Lendl.
Yeah. For that guy to just pass a random person and say, "Nice shirt," you got to feel good about his general personality if that's how he's rolling with those kind of accolades, you know?
And it's just so wild. You like, Malin and I were joking because we're at like the pro tent, you know, and it's like, it's a tent. It's a tent on some concrete with some folding chairs out there. Let's just be honest. That's what it is. You got some, and then there's like another smaller tent with like the, you know, the recovery area where you have like the stretching area, the yoga mats, the rollers, this, all that stuff. And you have Yvonne Lendl over there, just, you know, there's like probably 10 senior pros over there. And he's just like, you know, rolling himself out and just talking to the people. And it's like, and then you see Arthur Ashe just looming behind him. And it's like, it's just such a strange thing of like, he was like, "Yeah, I used to, you know, I made the finals here in that stadium like 8 years in a row. And now I'm just out here under a tent, playing some pickle, rolling my legs out." Same with Rallyer DeHart, huh? Pretty wild that like he played an Arthur Ashe against Nadal. And now he's just out here, you know, grinding dinks out. So
well, hey, let's, I mean, we're gonna bring up Lindell. It's a lovely story, Robert. Let's talk about Kim Clijsters too. I mean, yep. She's doing her thing out there playing some pickle. I think she was playing with Caitlin Kerr, the pickleball chick. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it is pretty wild. And the reason why I said that about Lindell earlier is because people with some of those accolades and some of that success, especially in the world of tennis, they're kind of asses. A good bit of them are. And so that's, yeah. It was cool to hear Lindell down to earth. And I know Kim Clijsters is a very nice person because I've heard that from like 40 different people. So, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. So that's great. Tennis legends, playing a little picky, staying in shape. Cool, laid back, and down to earth. You just love to see it.
Yeah, we don't need to fight it. Doesn't need to be a this or that. It can be a both.
Yeah.
Interesting. Like also at the hotel I'm staying at, on the 11th floor, but overlooks, I believe it's McCarran Park in Brooklyn. And there's I think 6 tennis courts, and then there's just a huge, basically like a huge concrete area, probably bigger than the size of the 6 tennis courts. And getting here last night, it's rainy this morning, but last night before sunset, there were 6 courts, 6 temp nets out there with people, tape lines. They tape themselves on just asphalt out there playing. Like, just, it's just so cool to see like random picky in the wild of just people wanting to go out and line their own courts with their temp nets and play.
Yeah, I mean, amazing. Amazing. So I know they had what, I don't know what it's called, like, City Center, someplace in Central
Park. City Pickle.
Central Park.
Yeah.
City Pickle. There you go. So you got the concrete slab over in Brooklyn. It's an everywhere situation. That's for sure. So
NYC Pickleball, Eric Ho, making some moves also, it sounds like, in Manhattan with the facility, maybe in the Chinatown area. I don't know if that's a secret, Eric. Sorry if it is.
I mean, lands at a premium, Robert. You got 1 tennis court. You got most likely 2 people playing, maybe 4. You got 4 picky courts. You got 16 people out there. I mean, it just makes perfect sense. More please.
The math works.
And the math works. It does. Let's chat a little bit about the tournament and tell us a bit about your experience and your results, and maybe you slid into the commentary booth for a few minutes as well. Let's hear it.
Yeah. We've been chatting for a while about getting into the commentary booth with the APP broadcast team. Was going to try to do it in Miami at the last event they had down there, but ended up not going because of the knee. So New York came up and they're like, we'd love to get you in. We have little windows on this day. And I was able to had a break in the action because I lost in the quarters of men's with Richard Livernese, but had fun playing with him. I mean, he's an up and coming talent. He's very good. Super fun playing with him. He came down to visit Bristol to train, but we didn't have the best result. Lost in the quarters, and if you lose in the quarters, you're done. So I had the day, and they approached me. Let's come in the commentary booth. So it was me, Chad Edwards, and Dorian Kraft, and I had a lot of fun. We commentated the match of, I believe it was Fudge and Newell against Susanna Barr and Mari Humberg, and it was awesome points. Like on the women's side, both semifinals were really, really fun, and it was a blast. I talked over points, which I feel is important. That's just bring in a little extra flavor of we don't need. It's a stress, Adam. It's stressful. You get it. Trying to talk between 7 seconds between points is hard.
It's almost impossible to say something meaningful. I agree completely. And I even jumped into the chat. I have not done that in a very long time for just a couple minutes.
Yeah.
And
I didn't even know there was a chat.
Yeah. Someone made an inappropriate comment to me, but that's besides the point. It was hilarious because one guy goes, I wish he wouldn't talk over the points, and then the very next the very next comment was, this is great commentary, I haven't heard anything like this in a while. So that just sums up how impossible it is to make everyone happy in the commentary booth. So it was the perfect back-to-back comments that I heard. So it was,
I mean, that's lovely. With everything, right? That's, hey, you don't want to ride that middle line, right? You want people to love you and hate you.
That's right. So yeah, talk so good about me, great. Yeah, talk bad about me, you know, almost as good. So maybe even better. So also the three person is tough too. So I have been in a three-person booth quite a bit with MLP in 2023. Yeah. And it is, I'm not saying it's like better or worse, but it is very different having three and two. So yeah, there's little caveat to that, and you have to kind of adjust your comments and your timing, and you don't always get to say something, but then you feel like, oh, it's my turn, I got to say something good. So it's, yeah, it's just what it is.
Yeah. And I mean, as you know, Adam, coming into it, it's like you have, you've got, like, I think I remember at MLP, I think in Austin, you had, this is before you really sunk your teeth into commentary, you had Cameron Irwin, like, really teeing you up and like building you in for success. And like, they're pros, right? Like, they're really good at kind of leading you in and giving you kind of the basis of what, like, it's easy to just talk about pickleball for us, right? Cause we eat, sleep and breathe it. So that part's on lock. Like you said, like the transitions and stuff like that, or when to talk, when not to talk, or when to stop, a little tougher. But, you know, having the pros that do this full time lead you into it just makes it super easy. And Dorian and Chad were both amazing in terms of just kind of teeing it up for me. And yeah, super fun. Until, okay, this is it. So from the APP New York last year through basically this whole last year, I mean, every tournament, I didn't even bring any kind of like caffeine because I knew rain was going to be there. I would have the drinks, and then we'd get to the tournament this year. I mean, Rain's still a sponsor of the APP. I guess they just didn't do activation at this event for whatever reason. So all the players are like scrambling, like, oh my God, there's no energy drinks. What are we going to do? So on Friday for mixed day or singles day as well, there were no rains out there. And I'm like asking Matty Pickles, who's at this event, for rain. And he's like, I don't know. I can't find anything. And I'm like, there's got to be one somewhere on the grounds of Billie Jean King Tennis Center, Matty Pickles, please, please. And he was able to scrounge one up from somewhere. I don't know, but he found me one. But so then you fast forward to Saturday. I play, you know, we play men's doubles. We're out in the booth, and then all of a sudden I look up from the booth to the court and I see somebody, there's like the Rain Energy little container on court with the branding, and opening it up and pulling out a icy cold Rain Energy drink, Valencia orange. And I'm like, what in the world? Now Rain's here. And I'm saying this in the commentary booth. It's, I was like, why would they not sponsor? I don't even remember what I said, but I was like, look, I had to drink Celsius. So I mentioned obviously a competitor to the sponsor, whoopsies. But also, sorry. I truly do like Rain better, I think, but, you know, I heard Celsius has some cyanide in it and I just like to live on the edge.
Yeah.
So,
so good though. 20 minutes in, you mentioned the wrong sponsor on air. That's lovely.
No, it's just like, why is Rain? Why do they have Rain now? Where was Rain earlier when I needed it to play?
Yeah. And, I mean, and you need it, Robert. Like you. It's not an option.
I am one to be fatigued often, so I try to counteract that fatigue with copious amounts of caffeine, which. Which helps until it doesn't, you know, so yeah, it was a fun time in the booth.
That Matty Pickles, he's a resourceful guy. He came up with one for you, huh? Yeah, he came up with one. Here to help. So no, that all sounds about right. Yeah, I mean, a lot went on in that 20 minutes in the booth, Robert. And
yeah, it's look, commentary is fun. Just talking about Picky, and it's. Yeah, I think it's important to have a player insight, right? Like whether it's you or whether it's a current player, or like it's really important to have somebody that's played against some of the players on court or played with some of the players on court, because you're going to get insights that you normally wouldn't. And I think it's valuable, and I hope to do more of it. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, I will always be a player first, at least in my opinion. So I think that there is a number of pro players that would crash and burn if they jumped on the mic for too long. But I think that there is a ton of players that at least in the short term would give very good value and very good insights into a variety of different things. Now, doing it for 5 hours Being a little more polished, that's a different situation that comes with time. But I think it can almost only be so bad if you have a pro player in there just kind of breaking it down, breaking down a match and giving those insights. Because everybody sees the game differently and some see it better than others. But I think everyone at the pro level will at least provide some form of value on the mic for at least a match or two.
I mean, that's pretty generous, Adam, because in my opinion, there's a lot of pros out there that, one, aren't very articulate, and two, aren't actually very smart. respectfully. You know, see ball, hit ball, a lot of that going on, but very talented. But yeah, I think I don't know if everybody actually thinks about the game. I know a lot of, like, you know, Leia's obviously been really, really good on the mic, and she has very good insights. I think there's a lot of people that would not.
Yeah,
but,
no.
Yeah.
And I actually think that there is a lot of players who would be considered players that play smart. And I think that has not a lot to do with what's between the ears. It's
Agreed.
Just their skill. It's just their skill set. Like Agreed. their skill set and what they bring to the table from a physical standpoint kind of makes you think they're consistent and smart and kind of playing the percentages, but it just works out to look like that because of their physical gifts.
100%. I think that's absolutely correct. It looks like, oh, they're constructing this point this way and they're like, they're really breaking it down, and it's just like, no, they just, this is what they're good at, you know?
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. So,
and then fast forward from Saturday to Sunday, they pulled out a new kind of format called the Shuffle, which is basically you took the top 16 players entered in the tournament. You break them into how many pools? Four pools of four players. It's round robin style, so everybody plays with everybody in that pool. Whoever has the best first off win loss record, top two advance to the next pool, and then they do the same thing there where they do pool play, call it the semifinals, and those advance, and then you do pool play at the finals. And it's all based on win, loss, and point differential. New format they're trying. They did this in lieu of kind of the team event, which they had talked about doing or announced doing. I think they announced they were going to do 5 team events at 100K a pop. And it kind of shifted to this shuffle, which kind of unique, right? Like you have players playing with, like in my first pool, I played with Sobek, Spencer Lanier, and
dig deep, Robert.
Oh my gosh, dude.
You played a whole game with them and you can't remember?
A whole game, and I played 2 games against them.
Oh god, Robert, come on. You are almost 40, Robert. Sometimes it just mentally just kind of dips around.
Oh my gosh, dude, this is insane. It doesn't matter. I can't think about this because it's gonna annoy me. Josh, let's trim this so I don't look so dumb. now we should probably leave it, but neither here nor there. So you play with people that you normally don't play with. It was kind of fun in that respect, Adam. We always talk about how it's cool to see players playing with different players. What I would say to that is it's just having one game. It's also they did rally scoring, so just one game to 21, no freeze, no win on serve, just straight rally, true rally. Whoever gets there, you can win off a return, whatever. Which obviously fun for viewing, but not very fun to play, in my opinion. I'm a staunch advocate for you should have to win on your serve. Forget the freeze, forget anything else, but like win on your serve, because in pickleball, that's like that to me, that's earning it. So I don't know. I have mixed feelings on the event. I would much rather have seen a team event kind of come together. It feels like a lot of variance in terms of results, and I think Sobek went undefeated to get to the finals, and then I think lost the very last game. And then they did like some 5-point tiebreaker because he was tied with Jack Monroe. And then Jack Monroe won the coin toss, so he got to pick his partner out of the people in that pool. And then Yeah, so Sobek goes undefeated the whole day, probably has the best point differential on the whole day, and then loses this little tiebreaker to Jack Monroe to five and doesn't get the crown. So kind of tough to lose that way. And then you had then there's also a tie in one of the early pools. I think it was a tie between Jaden Broderick and Ryler DeHart. They both had 3 points, like plus three in the point differential, and were tied to move on. And they didn't play a tie breakout like they did in the final. They just said, hey, Ryler's got more points on the tour. Ryler advances. Jaden, sorry, back to the back draw.
Yeah,
and that's tough.
Yeah, it seems like a pretty small sample size. So kind of crapshooty in terms of
super crapshooty.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I get if you're doing a 1 day event like that with pool play, I guess that's just kind of part of it. But
Will Howells went 0-3 in his first pool. I went 1-2. I went 1-2 in my next one. It's just super crapshooty.
So did they have that rule in place for the Ryler and Jaden Broderick, or did they just kind of come up with it on the fly?
I think it was a little bit more on the fly. I don't think they had a tiebreaker in place, which I'm surprised we only had one tie, truly, with having three matches.
Yeah, only playing three matches, the point differential being tied, it seems like something that's going to happen at least a decent percentage of the time. But either way, new format, tinkering, new format, trying, whatever, all good. I think that's fair to say, so. I didn't see that part of it. Saw very little bit of the stream. I really only tuned in when you were doing commentary, Robert. That was the highlight. That was the highlight for me. So, solid.
Always a very cool venue. They kind of mixed up the championship court this year and put it on a different court. And I like it was very tight to the court, which I think is a big deal. And pro picky is to have a stadium court that's really tight to the court, makes it feel very intimate for the players. It's good energy. So well done on the championship court. And not another APP till the beginning of July.
Where are we now? Mid-May? Okay. That's a while. But I wanted to say I do agree with you on the championship. Some of the bigger tennis facilities, I think that it's easy to being a venue being spacious on the grounds is absolutely amazing, but you want that energy from the fans. And if they are too far away or just sparsely kind of put into a huge tennis stadium, I do think that hurts the vibe of that court and could even affect play with the energy of the fans not kind of leaking over to the players. So that's a good point. Like the spacious, like the big bathrooms, like the access of all of those tennis facilities, but having that championship court or the grandstand court or both be a little more cozy with atmosphere is definitely something that's important in my opinion.
Yeah, 100% agree. And but pretty big break between this one to SoCal. I think Newport Beach is next, beginning of July. And then an even bigger break, not another tournament after that until the end of August. So kind of a quiet summer on the APP front, which, we see this a lot in pickleball when events aren't happening and the other tours are having a bunch of events, it really takes up a lot of just grabs a lot of attention, right? And the tour that's not, and this, it's gone both ways, right? There's been times where the APP's had a ton of events, and there's been times where, PPA's had a lot and APP's not had a lot. And it's just interesting because during those times, those tours that are having events often are really grabbing your front of mind with the fans, with everything going on in the pro pickleball world. And it's a big deal to be in front of the audience, right? So it'll be interesting to see kind of how it plays out with APP only having two events really in the next 3 months. Is that right?
3+ months. And we talked about that with MLP, the merger there and there being such a layoff. And, I think it's something that just doesn't instantly come back. It's going to take a little bit more of a momentum build because it was something close to 6 months without a major league pickleball. So that's part of it, and I think that's a reasonable point and makes sense in that regard. So you just I don't Yeah, I don't know what the answer is or exactly what else to say about it, but I think it's a good point.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. Adam, you brought up frequency earlier, and it's something we talk a lot about in terms of me as somebody that likes to pull the trigger. Less frequent equals more success typically. But getting into the, we can just go ahead and get into the tip of the day. But you brought this up, and you said it was based on something you heard Colin Schick talk about. So would love to hear kind of what your perspective is on it.
Yeah, so it was a little clip from another podcast. I have no idea which one it was. Sorry about that. But Colin and I were doing a good bit of drilling there for a while, maybe once a week for a few months. And, you know, I mean, he's clearly a smart guy. And so he would kind of pick my brain. Not that I'm as on his level of smarts, but I have a lot of experience playing. So we talked, and he was kind of settling into that right side role with Jack Sock, and he was kind of just asking for some tips. And I am really big on the blend and poker and how it pertains to pickleball. And so one of the main theory aspects of poker is to be balanced in all situations, meaning that if you always have a good hand in this particular situation, or you're always bluffing in this particular situation, you are exploitable. So it goes both ways, doing it too much or not doing it enough. So yep. I think that carries over a lot in pickleball to the frequencies when you are pulling the trigger. And a lot of this is opponent dependent as well. So I might have a certain player in front of me, and I get this ball and I am pulling the trigger 1 out of 10. I might have this certain player in front of me, I get the exact same ball, and it's like a 7 or 8 out of 10 situation. So the players are getting so good. They have such quality skills, and if you are giving them an opportunity to anticipate or know that a certain something is coming, you are in big trouble with how good everyone is. So I think it's so important to not only change your spots up to, it could be right hip, right shoulder, left hip, left shoulder, whatever the case may be, full body, maybe going into space up the line, and also balancing out the proper amount of time to attack given your opponent and how quality your attacks are. If you do it too much, problem. If you don't do it enough, also a problem, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think there's some additional things to think about here too. And again, like you said, Adam, it's very dependent on who's in front of you. It's also pretty dependent on your own skill set. If you are somebody that you feel like you have really good hands, and you feel like if somebody's attacking you that you can be on it, your frequency can be less. And that means when you do speed up, your success rate will be higher typically. But if you're somebody that feels like you're getting bullied a lot and you're getting caught and your hands aren't up to snuff, you don't want to get bullied. So you want to put yourself in positions where you're the one bullying, because if you're just a great dinker, but you know, you get that cross court go, let's say I'm on the right and my partner's going cross court on the left. And I think, you know, and I'm worried about my hands, that's not a great position to be in, right? So depends on your skill set as well. If you have good hands, you can be more patient. You can not worry about you might want the opponent to speed up. And it's not only your own skill set, I think, Adam, but it's also dependent on, like what I saw in New York this weekend, is conditions. Playing in Salt Lake City or St. George or Denver versus playing in New York or Florida or Georgia is very, very different. And that also plays into speed up frequency. Also court surface. So we played on Pickleball United courts, which are the rollout courts, which in my opinion play very well, but the ball doesn't bounce up as high, which means especially off the bounce, your trajectory off the speed up is more incline, right? So it's more going up versus kind of going straight through linear, which just means your opponent's going to be able to hit down more and have a little bit more time. Also ball dependent, right? There's a lot of variables here. The Franklin ball, especially in the heat, which we had a hot weekend here in New York, slows it down even more, makes it heavier. It makes the bounce stay a little lower, even on top of the courts. So in that case, the team that's speeding up is, unless it's just a insane speed up, off the bounce, you're going to be in trouble if you're trying to speed up often. And I ran into this. I tried to do too much off the bounce. I tried to create too much, and especially on the shuffle day. And I just got into a lot of trouble because everybody's got pretty good hands and I'm speeding up off a lower ball than it normally would be off the bounce. So yeah, a lot of conditions that and variables that come into account here. And I think in the conditions, let's call it New York, where it's really slow and soft and not bouncing high, I should have absolutely changed my frequency to only attacking balls that are net level high out of the air versus off the bounce, and tried to just be more aggressive on my dinks. But I didn't. I pulled the triggers early and often, and I got punished. So.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's all very good points, Robert. And I just kind of even think of it as a sliding scale. It's like I get this ball. I'm trying to predetermine and factor in the conditions of my opponent. What kind of ball we're playing with? Is it muggy? Is it 40 degrees? What is it? And one ball right here on my forehand side off the bounce, about mid thigh high, that could be an 8 out of 10 pull the trigger situation when the conditions are right. And it could go all the way down to a 1 or a 2 out of 10 if, like you said, the ball is softer and marshmallowy and I have whatever, you know, Eric Lang thunder punching backhand counters right in front of me. So it's not just as simple as I get this ball, I'm going to fire away half the time. You have to, once you start getting in that 4-0 plus type level as an amateur, you should be thinking about other factors and adjusting your frequency on when to speed up and where to speed up.
Yeah, I think that that's a pretty good, that's some high level stuff.
Well, we just talked some basic grip stuff and advantages and disadvantages last week. So a little more theory based this time. And I think we'll bounce back and forth between specific situation and technique and stuff. Technique stuff and also some of this more deeper chess, not checkers type of stuff that we like to say a lot with pickleball. So it's important to have a little bit of both. And, you know, everybody's good, whether it's at the low levels, the mid levels, or the pro level. So you got to try to find that edge somewhere.
Everybody's good and everybody's getting better and everybody's working hard. So, I mean, it's pre-qualies, qualies. It's getting tough to break in.
It's getting tough to break in. So hopefully that tip, use some of that. Think about some of those things, opponents, balls, conditions, temperature, court surface, all of it factors in. And it might only affect it a little bit, but affecting it a little bit is a big deal these days.
Do we have a PPA coming up this weekend?
We do have a PPA Dallas. PPA in Dallas. I will be on the mic Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It is a standard format, not a progression draw. And I believe we have Dallas, then Sacramento, and then San Clemente, all in about a 5-week stretch or so. So, and then there's MLP DC. The Hard Eights will not be competing in that. I think every team gets one, if not two, tournaments off to kind of match up those 23 regular season games. So, will not be there for DC, but that's coming up in a couple weeks. And I believe the following tournament that the Hard Eights will be competing in is a Salt Lake City event.
Gotcha. When is the MLP DC event? Like mid-June, probably, something like that?
It's either the weekend after this Dallas or the weekend after that. So I know it's pretty close. It's coming up pretty close. And, you know, I should probably know exactly when it is. But like I said, we are not competing. So that at least gives me a little leeway to not know. So, yeah, so that's what we have up on the schedule. You talked about those couple APPs as well. So, yeah, it should be even if not as consistent, like you said, on the APP side. There's still plenty of pickleball this summer, and it's going to be good.
That's all I got, Adam.
I think a wrap is right here. A little lighter on time for this Memorial Day special. Safe travels to you, Robert. You're in planes a lot, as am I. So
safe travels to you to Dallas.
Part of the deal. Yeah, that'll be Wednesday night travel for me. I made a mistake going to Atlanta as my flight got delayed. I tried to travel the morning of, and that did not work out in my favor, but that's part of the deal. So
part of the deal. Rack up those miles, Adam.
Yeah, I need to. I need to be more on that. I kind of
get Corinne. She's probably all over that now.
Yeah, she's less organized than you would think. you think Professor, you think Smiley Corinne. She's got everything together. Some of those paperwork type things are not her strength.
Adam, look, I've never seen Corinne late. I've never seen her unorganized. Everything that I've seen about Corinne is the epitome of professional punctuality, timeliness. Just, I think she's on it.
Let's end right here. Perfect.
Bye-bye.